Check Your Productions, in conjunction with Inspire Fitness Academy, presents Fitness Stripped Bare, a show that, as in the title suggests, will try to strip bare the myths, rumours and gimmicks of the phenomenon that in itself has become a worldwide industry.
Welcome to episode 8 of Fitness Stripped Bare. I'm producer Mitch. How are you going today, John?
Hey Mitch, absolutely fantastic, thank you very much. Been a nice little break over Christmas and looking forward to getting back into this.
Perfect. So on today's episode, we're going to be discussing recovery. And let's probably keep it purely fitness related. I know you've probably done a bit of recovery around the alcohol.
We're all human, and I've always said, right time, right place, enjoy yourself, indulge in what you indulge in, and mine's wine. So yes.
So John, explain to us quickly, what is recovery? What does that cover in terms of fitness, and how do you explain that?
Okay, so recovery in fitness, first thing to think of is fitness isn't one subject, like I said before. It's lots of different types of different subjects involved with one thing. So you've got different recoveries from different types of fitness. So for example, with aerobic training, i.e. for example, maybe long distance running, the recovery is different for that than it would be for strength training. So if you do proper strength training, then you need to have longer recovery period for your muscles to repair, get stronger, get a little bit bigger, knit back together again. So with strength training in particular, let's say I've done a really, really heavy bench press, I'm working my pecs predominantly. So if I want to get the best out of my training, I get the gains in the recovery phase. Now, if I've lifted heavy weights and gone to fatigue, absolute maximum that I could ever lift,
yep,
and I've gone to fatigue in less than 10 seconds, which is what's called the anaerobic phase, then I'll need about 5 to 7 days of recovery for the pecs to get stronger, bigger, knit back together and repair. Because when you lift heavy weight, you microscopically tear the muscle fibers. And it takes a week or so for that repair to take place properly. There's no point in doing weight training again for that particular part of the body. And not only is there no point, but it can actually be detrimental.
So that's just in terms of muscles from work, muscle work from...
Yeah, from heavy weights.
Heavy weights,
yes. Yeah, exactly.
So what about in terms of, say, if you were training for a marathon, how long would you generally need to recover before you can go again? Or can you just train every day flat out?
Yeah, no, brilliant question again. So with marathon training, you can't run long distances, super long distances every single day because you can't recover properly from it. So, for example, if you've got a marathon plan with, let's say, maybe, I don't know, 7K... planned on Monday, same on Tuesday. On Wednesday, you may have a 30K run. Thursday, you pull it back to 5 or 6 again. Same with Friday, same with Saturday. And then Sunday, you've got another 30, maybe 35K. So you can't do 35K every day because you will not be able to recover properly.
Yep.
But by bringing it back to doing shorter distances, you are actually allowing the body to recover. Also, going slower is another form of recovery, especially after you've been on a really long run. If you've been on a 30, 40K run, to go slower the next day is part of the recovery because you're also running out what's called the lactic acid in your legs.
Yeah.
But you're still getting the distances, accumulating those kilometers in the bank, which you still need to do. You've got to do that.
Yeah, so is that sort of like after you go for a big run and you're told to warm down, you walk it out type
yeah,
thing?
Is that, yeah, it is a similar thing. That's exactly right, yes.
So it's just, really letting your muscles cool down, start that recover process, rather than just finishing off a 15K run and plonking yourself on the couch. And
that's right, yeah.
Definitely not a good way to recover.
Exactly right.
Let's just jump back to weight training again and do certain muscles take longer than other muscles to recover, or are they all similar? Got similar timelines?
Well, it depends how hard you've worked the muscles, and it also depends on your biomechanics.
Yeah.
So, for example, with Well, go running. Okay, this is a better one to talk about this question.
Yeah.
So with running, your calf muscles take a massive load. They take a hammering.
Yeah.
Especially over long distances. And over short distances, doing sprints, it's your quadriceps that take a hammering. They're the ones who do all the big work. But in long distance running, it's your calves. So they would take longer to recover because they do more work, you see. So, and then the recovery with that isn't just what I've just said, i.e. going slower and not as long distances. You've got things like massage to yep. consider. Massage is a fantastic recovery tool. And every person who is involved with a high intensity sport or long distances or endurance or whatever it might be should look to get some massage done, because that helps to stop your muscles from tightening up and getting too hard. If they get too hard, especially with your calves, it's actually a bad sign. They need to be loose and flexible. So you need to incorporate the massage, a really good stretching program after you've done the particular thing that you've been doing, not before. So stretching after. You need to make sure those muscles are absolutely flexible, not bunched up, because that the when they get too hard, that can be a prerequisite for an injury. It can happen that you can get muscles too tight, and if they get too tight, then they can ping, they can snap or tear. Or you might do some damage to a tendon. For example, with the calf muscle, you might do some damage to the Achilles tendon, which is right by your ankle, but that connects the calf to your heel. That tendon takes a massive load and needs a lot of massage, needs a lot of liquid recovery as well. So I'm waffling on here a bit, but the liquid recovery is in the form of things like Powerade. Am I allowed to say that? Gatorade, Endura.
Yep.
In other words, electrolytes. And they're actually called a replacement drink or a recovery drink. What they're replacing is what you've lost through sweat and breathing. So you lose minerals and electrolytes through breathing and sweating. So you need to replace them. And water doesn't cut it, especially in a hot place like where we live.
So is that purely down to the recovery stage, or is that whilst you're, say, running a marathon as well, should you be drinking your electrolyte drinks?
Definitely should be, without a doubt. I've actually run quite a few marathons on the Gold Coast. One year, the organisers decided that my level, which is about a four-hour marathon, didn't need to have their replacement drinks on the tables. Normally, every 5K, you're allowed to put your drinks on the tables. They said that, no, we weren't allowed to that year. And I got really bad cramps because I couldn't replace what I'd lost, wasn't allowed to. And it was awful. But no surprise, next year, we were allowed to do it again, because obviously a lot of people complained. So yes, drinking during, without a doubt.
Obviously the water, just as it would rehydrate you, it obviously wouldn't give you back everything you need.
That's right, yes.
And back to the age-old question, how does age affect this? How does age affect your recovery? Is that sort of the same for everyone, or is it differed compared on how active they may be?
I think it is obviously a little bit different for most. Everybody's different anyway. It also depends on your history. So if you've done it all your life, and you've got a really good, recovery process in place, then it's going to be easier than if you suddenly just started at the age of 40. Then of course your recovery then won't be as easy. You've just got to work it out properly, what's individual for you. So like I said, things like having a massage regularly, also replacing the fluids that you've lost and the electrolytes that you've lost and the minerals that you've lost. Another one is, I can't remember what it's called. A little bit of human coming in here. It'll come back to me. So using heat packs as well.
Yeah.
On certain hot spots in your muscles, which might be tight. And like I said, tightness in muscles and soreness, some people think it's really good. And it's not. It's actually bad. It can be, like I said, before, a warning sign that you might get a tear, and then you're out for 3 or 4 weeks at least.
And then that's obviously a much longer way to recover from something.
And then you'll start all over again, and then get the momentum going, and the drive, all those things. So you're better off not getting injured in the first place.
What we might do now is we'll jump over to our one and only favourite segment, which is rapid fire.
Let's go for it.
So today what I'm going to do is I'm going to pop up a number of different topics and just want you to tell me how these certain topics will either help or hinder, depending on which one they are, your recovery in terms of your time it takes for you to recover from, whether it be weight training or running or a specific sport.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we'll go from there. So the first one is sleep.
Yep, really, really important. That is part of recovery. And if you don't get the right good quality sleep, then your body won't recover properly, for sure.
Second one is ice baths.
Yeah, look, a lot of people think they're good. If you can deal with the absolute freezing, yes, really good for muscle recovery. Difficult to always get a hold of course, but no, they do enhance muscle recovery for sure.
And, well, I suppose we sort of covered it before in terms of your immediate recovery and whilst working out or running a marathon, such and such, but water, how does that help in your recovery in sort of the next day that afterwards?
Yeah. Again, look, I mean, most people don't drink enough water anyway. We should be drinking a lot more than we do, 4 litres, 5 litres, 6 litres a day. Depends on how much you're doing in the first place, but yes, really, really important, obviously.
Okay, alcohol.
Okay, alcohol dehydrates you.
Yep.
It makes ugly people look really attractive. Good for parties, but no, not great for muscle recovery. In fact, the opposite.
And the next one, which is a often quite debated one as well, and when it comes to your, I suppose, again, during certain exercises as well as your recovery as such, compression garments.
Yeah, they're good too. Like skins, for example. Yeah, absolutely. You know, they work really well. I swear by them as well. And yeah, anything that can give you another 2% of recovery, it's all good.
Might just touch on that one a little bit more while we are on it. So with your skins and that sort of thing, obviously you see a lot of professional athletes wearing them. What do they actually do in terms of when you're running a marathon, for example, you're wearing skins, what are they intended to
do? It's something called quicking.
Yeah.
So when you sweat, you know, you're losing a lot of hydration.
Yeah.
And they actually help prevent the dehydration, sort of keeps it in.
So they stop the amount of sweat you're losing as such.
That's rapid.
Now, what we're going to do now is we'll jump on over to a bit of a different topic. Just before we do, is there anything else you wanted to add on to recovery? Anything?
Yeah, the thing that I can't remember.
What was that again?
Exactly, I can't remember.
Okay, well,
if I jump into the next one and remember, is that okay?
Yeah, well, we can always go back.
Right, yeah.
So what we're going to jump over to now is do a bit of a... as we do know, we've just gone past Christmas Day, fast approaching New Year's, and those lovely New Year's resolutions that everyone loves to get on board, and a lot of people do tend to put them out there and get a few days or maybe weeks into them, sometimes even a month or two,
It's one of my favourite subjects, and, you know, having been a personal trainer for nearly 21 years now, the amount of New Year's resolutions about fitness is... it's in the thousands of people I know, easy. And you know, I don't quite get it, because I only did a section on my Facebook page last week on don't wait to New Year's, start now.
Yep.
Why put that pressure on yourself? Why bother? Go for a run today, go to the gym now, do 20 push-ups now, do 10 burpees, this is a week ago. That way you're actually starting already, you're starting to get the habit.
Yep.
There's nothing different about January the 1st than any other day in the year. So, I personally don't get the psychology of it, and it's been proven to be a complete waste of time and a load of crap. Because most people break their New Year's resolution within the first week anyway.
Yep.
You know, they've got a party to go to, you know, friend's birthday, barbecue, whatever. And then, oh no, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to eat rubbish food. Well, it's all on hand, it's all there. Yep. And... you know, Why bother putting themselves under that pressure? I don't get it. I think that it should be done before. Or just don't make one at all and just decide to go a different route. So have a different goal setting program. Goal setting is far more effective than a resolution.
Is it just that extra amount of pressure they are putting on them on themselves as to why the main reason for people failing?
Yeah, that's the first thing. And it's unrealistic. So it's an unrealistic goal that they're giving themselves.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to drink this year. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, for 99% of people, it won't happen. And then they cave in. So they're better off saying things like, hey, look, I'm going to set some goals for myself, right? Let's say I want to lose whatever, 2 dress sizes, 10 kgs, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm going to do that over a 6-month period. So you set the goal for 6 months' time. You might want to enter an event like the 10K on the marathon day, or even a half marathon, or if you're really psycho like me, then do a full. But I wouldn't recommend that because it's possibly too hard. So don't set yourself up for failure. Set yourself up for success. Do something which is out of your reach now, but achievable. So we use an acronym called SMART. When you break SMART down, it stands for specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely in a decent time. SMART. So it's a decent acronym to use. I'm not big on acronyms in the fitness industry, but that is one I do like. So specific. Is the goal specific? Yeah, well, yes, I need to lose 2 dress sizes or 2 pant sizes or 10 kgs. Is that measurable? Yes, it is. It's easily measurable. You can see your improvements by the distance that you're running, predominantly. Okay, so is it realistic? Yes, it is. Most people can run 10K. Okay, so what are we on? Specific,
yep.
Achievable, realistic time, in a decent time frame, 6 months. Yeah, yep. Of course. So if you start, look, I mean, I think 10 weeks is a decent time frame to train for a 10K run.
Yeah.
Because you should be able to put another 1 kilometer on at the end of each week that you do. Let's say you start on 1.
Yep.
Most people can run 1 kilometer.
Yep.
You do 2 the next week, 3 the next. That's 10 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so you piss it in 6 months.
Yes.
So, yeah, so set yourself decent goals and then work towards it. That's much better than saying, I'm not going to do such and such this year. My New Year's resolution is to stop smoking.
Yep.
Well, great, that's a damn good one. Sure, it doesn't have to be on that day, but let's say it is. Now, instead of putting the pressure on themselves to just say, right, that's it, I'm never going to smoke again, the best way to do it is to say, wake up every single day and say, today, I'm going to stop smoking. Even if they haven't had a cigarette. They keep saying that for 30 days, and by that time, they're well on the way to stopping smoking. Because they're setting up a mindset, today, I'm going to stop smoking. Today, they're taking the pressure off themselves. Instead of saying, it's been 30 days, oh my God, or it's been 8 days without a cigarette. That's,
yeah.
That's inviting pressure, taking it away from yourself.
Yeah, I suppose you're building that imaginary pressure on yourself by
yeah.
doing that constantly.
Yeah.
I suppose that I could probably relate that back to when I'm batting, or I'm
yeah.
one of the people who like to count what they're on.
Yeah.
Except once I'll get to about 9 or 10 and then I'll start again. I'll go
yeah.
back to 1,
yeah.
2, 3, as opposed to being 20, 30,
absolutely.
40. And I
yes.
just find you've just relieved a whole lot of pressure.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it is the same thing. I do the same thing. I mean, not much of a batsman these days, but get to 3. Go
yeah.
back to 0, get to 3, go back to 0,
yeah.
get to 3, in your mind. Same in tennis. You know, one shot at a time. Don't get ahead of yourself. Keep it in the present.
Yeah, I suppose it's that daunting outlook on that really faraway target
yeah.
that you think is
yeah, exactly.
very hard to achieve.
Absolutely. So when you've got that long-term goal, you keep it there, but then you take your eye off it. You know it's still there, you're still going to achieve it 6 months' time,
yep.
but then what you do is you bring it back to the now.
Yep.
So what can you do right now? What
yep.
am I able to do? Can you do 30 push-ups? Well, let's try. You know, can you do 31 tomorrow, 32 the next day? I do this with my clients. So, yeah, it's all a case of one thing at a time. What can you do right now?
So, yeah, it's just really breaking it down into achievable targets.
Absolutely.
Within reachable times.
Exactly.
Because once you push it that too far away where you can't reach it, the target
pisses
becomes
you off.
More and more daunting.
Exactly.
It feels like you're probably not making progress, and
yep.
then little hindrances will sort of also feel like it's not a big deal, but then in the long term, they're slowly, slowly just not helping in any way.
Absolutely right.
Reaching that target.
Exactly. And then, of course, when you do hit goals which are achievable, it makes you feel good. So most people are emotionally driven. So when you feel good or bad, whichever one it is, then it'll make you either want to do more or do less.
Yep.
So if you feel good about achieving something, let's say you did a 5K run, or I got a client to do a 300 kg leg press the other day, and she's got there in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And there's no way she would ever have dreamt she could possibly do that. And now she thinks she feels incredible. Can't wait to do the next one, you know. So can't wait to come in because she knows that she could probably do 3:10 when she comes in next time, or something like that.
And so what would you say, obviously they're some of the main reasons for failing, what would you say are some of the best tips to stay on track? Like what, obviously rewarding yourself maybe on certain goals?
Absolutely.
Or?
Reward yourself. So look, let's take it back to food, right? So most people have what they call a cheat meal when they're trying to get fit and healthy. I prefer to use the expression treat meal. Because cheating is the wrong connotation to start with. It doesn't make you feel very good to cheat.
Yeah.
So to treat, if you've earned a treat, then you've deserved it, which makes you feel good. We're back to that again.
Yeah.
So you can reward yourself with, I don't know, it could be whatever, a piece of cake.
Yeah.
You might want to have a glass of wine. Have it at the end of the week when you've already worked hard and deserved it. You've earned it. It's not going to kill you. By which stage, you're fitter anyway, which means that the food or drink, which isn't going to be particularly healthy, will just get burned off real quick anyway. It makes no difference. When you are really fit, it makes no real difference.
Yeah, so
in small quantities.
I suppose, so the closer you get to that target, the less that treat as such is going to affect you.
Absolutely, that's right. And actually, and something else happens as well. It's weird, you start to not really want it.
Yep.
Because the treat is a crave, usually. It could be a crave for anything, chocolate, whatever it is, alcohol. When you're getting fitter, your taste buds change. And then you might think you want it, but you actually don't. So you don't end up not having it anyway. But you can reward yourselves in different ways. You know, whatever you want, you've deserved it. So yes, remind yourself what you've done. Remind yourself what you've achieved. Remind yourself how far you've come. And look back to see where you started and go, bloody hell, I couldn't even do that. I could never dream of doing that.
Yeah.
Now you're doing it, and then ready for the next one.
So yeah, I guess that's a pretty good outlook on
magnesium.
Magnesium, that's what it was.
That's it. The recovery for the previous one. Lots of magnesium. It really helps relax your muscles and recover. Anyway, moving on.
So yeah, I was just going to say. So that I guess wraps up New Year's resolutions in terms of why people do fail, how they can be more successful at a New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say? Any tips or tricks or hints that you want to give to people that are looking at doing a New Year's resolution?
Okay.
Obviously,
if
this
is
going to come out very close to New Year's Eve,
yeah,
so starting early.
Well, look, if you decide to do it that way with a New Year's resolution, bear in mind that the holidays still go on for a little while.
Yep.
And there's going to be still some parties, birthdays, you name it, in January. I would say give yourself that little window to not put pressure on yourself to say, I'm not going there, or I don't want to drink, or whatever it might be. Train hard and use that as your reward. That would be the first thing.
Yep.
Enjoy it. Don't get completely off your face.
Yep.
But enjoy a drink or two. It doesn't matter. Have a burger with some cheese on it. It's not going to kill you.
Yeah.
You know? But, don't just keep the pressure off. Keep setting small goals. And, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. But reward yourself, as you said yourself. One more thing about New Year's. Most people will fail with their New Year's resolution. So the word failure, it's not a good word, is it? It makes you feel...
It feels like
bad.
You're lost.
Yeah, you're lost. That's right. So I've banned the word failure completely out of my vocabulary.
Yep.
So I look at something like that as a learn. So if you've learned from that experience, what do? Well, you don't beat yourself up and pack in, do you? You get back on the horse the next day.
Yep.
So if you have overindulged somewhere, You know, it could be in April, May, June, July, August, whatever. It doesn't matter. Don't say, oh, I failed. You haven't failed. You haven't failed at all. You just had an experience which you need to learn by. Get back on the horse the next day and put it right.
And I suppose that one thing that you may be referring to is your failure.
Yeah.
Does not automatically overcome everything you've achieved
Absolutely,
so far.
Absolutely, that's right. Remind yourself what you've done. Yeah. Why should it? I mean, a lot of people do that, though. You're right. They start to beat themselves up. Oh, my God, I'm a failure. I had too much to drink. I've broken my New Year's resolution. Really? Don't set yourself up for failure. Don't even use the word failure. Look at it as a learn.
Move on.
Yeah.
It's exactly like, for example, relating it to cricket again.
Yeah.
Steve Smith's really big on that. When he does go out, obviously, he'll go away and he'll... However he goes out, whether it's...
He'll examine
not getting
it.
Over that full shot and then...
Yeah.
Hitting it off the short ball, and he'll examine that, he'll work on that, he'll work on that. So rather than being a failure, he can see that this is how he's going to become a better batsman, this is how he's going to learn from that.
Yeah.
I guess that pretty much wraps up both of our topics, unless you've got anything else you want to add on?
Not really, no. Just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Don't put it all on one day to set yourself up for a whole year. It doesn't matter what day it is, you can decide to do it now, actually. That's called NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. You could decide to do it now.
What we can take from this is don't... Obviously, if you're listening to this now around that New Year's resolution, it's a good time, but in other sense, if this you're listening to this in January or February or wherever it may be...
Just do it now.
Start now.
Yeah,
start now.
That's
don't.
Right. Yeah.
And I guess by putting it off and giving yourself that date, you're then creating that daunting time saying, oh,
that's
I've
right.
only got one more week or two more weeks or... two more hours or whatever it is before that time comes.
Exactly right. And then putting the pressure on yourself with, this is my year. Well, and then, you know, come February, it's a disaster.
Yep.
And then that means that a lot of people will then go, oh, well, I fucked it up. So the next 11 months is going to be terrible. It's a write-off. It's a disaster. So I'll just carry on down the crap path.
Yeah.
Silly.
I suppose it's almost like knowing when you're going to pass away as such.
Yeah.
Because you're watching that
that's
coming.
That's it.
Coming.
Yeah,
and you're always, that's what you're going to be focused on. That's
right.
What you're going to know about.
Exactly.
Okay. No worries. Well, yeah. Thanks again for coming on in to record
the
podcast.
And thank you too, Mitch. Pleasure as always.
And yeah, I hope everyone out there has a really happy new year. And
indeed, you enjoy yourselves.
Sticks to their new targets and goals.
Have a drink.
Have a good New Year's, everyone.
See you in 2020.